From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Madeline Baxter with this look at local and statewide news. The start of Alaska's cruise season will be quieter than initially planned. Two companies have announced that they are suspending global operations for the next several weeks. In a video address posted on Twitter Thursday, Princess Cruises President Jan Swartz said the company will cancel all cruises through early May, and some trips that are currently sailing will be cut short. Viking Ocean Cruises also announced it would stop sailing through the end of April. There are three Princess Cruises scheduled to come to Alaska during the suspension period. The Viking Orion is the only ship scheduled to visit Southeast Alaska before the end of April. Sarah Leonard heads up the Alaska Travel Industry Association. She understands why these companies made these decisions to cancel.
We want to continue to provide safe experiences in Alaska, and I think that that's what we're seeing from cruise ship partners and from other tourism businesses.
It's hard to know what the impact of these cancellations will be on the state's summer tourism season, but Leonard calls it a delayed start at least.
And beyond that, I can't really project as this situation is really evolving daily, sometimes hourly.
Both Princess and Viking assured customers they would offer vouchers for a future cruise or a cash refund. An executive from Norwegian Cruise Line said that the company has no plans to delay or cancel sailings to Alaska. The Norwegian Joy is scheduled to arrive in Ketchikan on April 27th. If more companies cancel, Patty Mackey of the Ketchikan Visitors Bureau says that could mean a lean summer for tourism businesses.
We have businesses that are concerned about everything from employees and, you know, are they going to be able to afford to pay them? Do they suspend or narrow down their operations.
Mackey says the Viking and Princess ships that would have come to Ketchikan during the early season would have brought more than 6,000 passengers to the downtown docks. Alaska's major oil companies are screening workers for fevers before they fly to remote operations on the North Slope in an effort to fight the spread of coronavirus. The companies met last week and agreed to start screening all of their workers when they check in Anchorage. BP operates the North Slope's largest oil field, Prudhoe Bay, and is conducting those screening measures, a spokeswoman says. Another major North Slope operator, ConocoPhillips, is checking passenger temperatures as they board planes headed north. The companies are also reviewing their contingency plans in the event a case is discovered on the North Slope. The North Slope's oil patch employs thousands of workers in an isolated area nearly 400 miles north of Fairbanks. Most workers travel there by plane and live and eat in shared spaces. The major companies operating in the area have released few specifics about how they're working to prevent a coronavirus case there or how they'd respond if one was discovered. A BP spokeswoman said in an email last week that the company is closely monitoring the spread of the virus, along with guidance from the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Both BP and ConocoPhillips say they're prioritizing the safety and well-being of their employees. The Alaska Marine Highway System has only two ferries running, with many coastal communities still without service. Last month, the Alaska Department of Transportation signed a contract with a Native corporation to provide passenger ferries until the end of March. But as Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, nearly 2 weeks have gone by without any announced routes.
The chief executive of Goldbelt, McHugh Pierre, says the Juneau Native Corporation has two catamarans ready to go for relief to communities cut off from the Alaska Marine Highway System.
We're standing by and we're ready to perform at a moment's notice.
The Goldbelt contract was signed February 26, about a day after a similar contract with Allen Marine. That tour company has already run two charter ferries between Juneau and the island communities of Cake, Angoon, and Tenakee Springs. Pierre says he understands there are other communities still facing the prospect of no state ferries.
And we were hopeful that DOT, when awarding this contract, would give a schedule that said, hey, every week or every 2 weeks, you're going to make this run, and we're still waiting to hear.
In a statement, DOT remained noncommittal. It says it's still assessing the transportation needs of communities. Part of the Goldbelt contract is to run a ferry between Juneau and the villages of Hoona, Gustavus, and Pelican for $9,200 a trip. Gustavus City Administrator Tom Williams says he had no idea the contract even existed.
It's a little frustrating and disappointing that DOT didn't do a better job of notifying the communities that are in the contract for schedules.
Gustavus' state dock is scheduled to be rebuilt this spring, But Williams says he's had conversations with the National Park Service to use its Bartlett Cove dock as an alternative.
I realize that a passenger only ferry will provide limited amount of cargo per passenger, but still, that's a lot better than not having any opportunity at all to bring supplies over.
The community of Pelican isn't expecting a state ferry until mid-May. Norm Carson of the local Chamber of Commerce has been in contact with state transportation officials, but he didn't know about the contract either. He says combining trips to Pelican with other places makes sense.
If we could pair that with a community like Gustavus on the way out and the way back, then there'd be no issue with ridership at all.
The other route in the Gold Belt contract is now being served by the state ferry Taslina. It returned to service earlier this month. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
Alaska organizations are weighing whether to cancel or postpone conferences, sports tournaments, and other events as the coronavirus response escalates rapidly. And they're relying on state public health leaders to help make those decisions. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
Alaska's annual state basketball tournaments were a week away when organizers made the call on Wednesday to postpone the March Madness events. Billy Strickland leads the Alaska School Activities Association. He says the association relied on advice from the State Department of Health and Social Services.
Working with the state on how we're going to try to keep people as safe as possible, it really becomes a pretty easy decision at that point, as unfortunate as it is.
Strickland's group's decision was one of the most prominent of the many decisions Alaska groups are having to make about special events, conferences, and sports tournaments that bring people together. And he has a piece of advice for these groups.
You know, to use a current catchphrase, stay in your lane. We're not doctors. We're not people that really understand that. So when we're being told stuff by experts, we need to heed their advice.
The state has not issued a blanket recommendation to cancel mass public gatherings. But State Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink says Alaskans should be working together to reduce the risk from the virus. The goal is to reduce the disease's peak in the state so that the healthcare system has the capacity to treat patients.
We are on the phone with conferences, sporting events, travel agencies, the North Slope, industry, cruise lines on a daily basis.
The advice looks different depending on who the gathering attracts.
Part of it depends on what that group looks like. So right now, if we had a group of people in their 70s with significant medical conditions who are having a close gathering, we would highly discourage that. We wouldn't prohibit it this time, but we would very highly discourage that because that is a higher risk group.
Other groups would get an okay from the state.
That's different than kids going outside to go sledding, and they're spread apart, and they're young, and they're healthy, and they're lower risk.
Zink said on Wednesday that the state will mandate closing events if that becomes necessary, but it's not there at this point.
Right now, we're not mandating anything. We're trying to get that information out there. I really believe that Alaskans are better off when they are able to make some of those decisions themselves, rather than just coming out and saying, this is what's going to change all at once.
Some organizations that haven't posted or canceled events have posted online that they will take steps to lessen the risk of spreading diseases. And organizations whose events are further in the future have more time to make decisions. For example, Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's board will decide in mid-April on whether to postpone or cancel Celebration, its annual gathering scheduled for mid-June. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
And the University of Alaska is implementing a host of changes in preparation for the coronavirus. They include extending spring break an extra week, closing campus dormitories to most students, and teaching the majority of courses via electronic methods. Speaking at a Thursday teleconferenced press briefing, UA President Jim Johnson said the actions are aimed at reducing the potential for an on-campus spread of corona-caused COVID-19 disease.
By essentially moving from primarily face-to-face interaction in classrooms, in dorms, to alternative means.
President Jim Johnson acknowledged the changes will cause some upheaval, but stressed the importance of preventative action.
While also assuring our students that they'll be able to complete their academic programs this term.
Johnson said the university will be seeking state funding to accommodate costs related to the coronavirus response, including potentially reimbursing students for housing. UA has over 21,000 students system-wide, about 1,600 of whom live on campuses. That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. For more local and state news, go to ktoo.org.